Welcome to another episode of the Reboot Chronicles, a no-holds-barred forum with global leaders, authors, entrepreneurs, and CEOs about how organizations stay focused on growth and innovation in unprecedented times. I'm your host, Dean DeBias, coming to you live from Reviv's North American headquarters in Chicago, and we would like to thank you for joining us from around the globe today. Many of us donate our time and resources to charities. In fact, the donation industry is about a $500 billion market in the U.S. alone, making Americans one of the most generous societies in the world, in my opinion. But still, many of us find it a very crowded and confusing market, often not knowing which group to choose or trust with our donations. Our guest on the Reboot Chronicles today is Adam Nash, and he's changing all that. And he's basically democratizing giving and making it more convenient for, as Steve Jobs used to say, for the rest of us. He's the co-founder and CEO of Daffy, a community focused on making giving a habit. So anyone can contribute using cash, credit cards, stocks, crypto, and direct those proceeds to anywhere from 1 to 1.5 million vetted charities on the platform. It's probably higher now. He's a Silicon Valley leader. Adam's basically served in executive roles at Dropbox, LinkedIn, eBay, Apple, and was also the CEO of Wealthfront. And when he's not running Daffy or doing some angel investing, he is teaching personal finance for engineers at Stanford. My guess is that's a sold-out class. So, Adam, great to see you.
Dean, great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's an amazing concept. There's a lot of places and companies that'll take your money, I'm sure. And we can get into all that. But always curious about the genesis of things like these, especially, people like you and me who've kind of been CEOs of many companies. And it's like, what do you do next? And I'm just, wow, why was this at the top of your list? How'd this come about?
Well, I think like a lot of entrepreneurs and founders, I actually had quite a long list. I think that Google Doc with ideas may have had 82 ideas on them. Wow. On it. And it, yeah, they were not all good, Dean, as it turns out, but was hashing through them. But it suddenly struck me one day. I mean, I have four children, sent them to nice schools, et cetera. And one of the schools they went to had this wonderful tradition, right? Every Friday, the kids would come in, bring in spare change, put in a little piggy bank. And then once a quarter, they would all vote as a class which local organization to donate it to. And it was just a wonderful way to teach giving and charity. And it always bothered me a little bit as a parent, like, why do we teach our children to do this, right? Every piggy bank has a, here's the money to spend, here's the money to save for a rainy day, and here's the money to give to folks who are less fortunate than yourself. And so it probably would have just sat there, except I had been on the board of this company, Acorns, for a number of years. And they had built out a very successful app now that has millions of paying subscribers that just helps people put aside a little bit of extra money every month, right? Helps them go down the journey of a successful financial life.
Yeah, it's helped
life.
A lot of young people.
And I said, wow. And yeah, and so in fintech, you think of the last 10, 15 years, we have all these great apps to help people spend better, save better, invest better. Why not give better, right? Why not a better application that makes it very easy to put aside money every week or every month? So you have this account that's available for you anytime you're inspired to give. And it turns out the U.S. has a product for this. It's called the Donor Advised Fund. Most wealthy people know about it. Their advisor or their accountant told them about it at some point in their financial life. But there's 60 million American households who give to charity every year. And most of them have never heard of this account. And I said, wow, this is the perfect opportunity. We can build an app for all those people who give to charity every year, solve a lot of problems for them. And hopefully build a platform that has a lot
smart.
Of value.
Do we still have piggy banks? Like, do you get the hammer out and all that crap? Still, you smash it? I used to love that.
Yeah, I mean, I do love it. I love that I have them for my kids and that sort of thing. You can actually see there's even one behind me here.
Oh, yeah,
a little green piggy that has a little thing.
So what the name Daffy's interesting. Some people think of Daffy Duck. That's the only time they've heard that name. Clever.
Yeah, I don't know if it's clever. When you have an engineer who ends up coming up with names, et cetera, they tend to be kind of on the nose. And so Daffy stands for the Donor Advised Fund for You. Thought it was a cute app name, simple, easy to spell.
Thankfully, you didn't go with the long version of the name. That's good. And why are you guys a nonprofit?
Oh, that's a great question. I wish I could. There's nothing super clever about it. It turns out I didn't come up with the idea. Donor Advised Funds are available in most developed markets, including the U.S. And one of the rules for Donor Advised Funds is that they can only be offered by a nonprofit. usually a 501c3 nonprofit. Right. And so almost all major donor advised funds in the US are a partnership between a nonprofit, which offers the donor advised fund to their members, and a for-profit company that helps manage the money and technology and operations. And so in the industry, like Fidelity, Schwab, Vanguard, that for-profit partner is almost always a financial firm, right? An investment shop. And that affects their business model. Our big innovation was saying, well, what if instead of partnering with an investment firm, a financial services firm, we partnered with a venture-backed technology company? And that's actually what DAFI is. DAFI is the 501c3 that offers a donor advised fund to its members. And it partners with a venture-backed company called Aside Inc., which provides the technology and operational platform to implement.
Oh, so you don't have to do all the hard stuff. I love that. You can focus on the sizzle, which is, you got your hands full. You know, it's, you know, it's interesting. There's so many avenues to go here. But so, you know, people, the business model is basically people are giving, putting money into the platform, sometimes on a recurring monthly basis, whatever. They probably have a lot of options. And then they can choose. I assume they're somewhat vetted. Can I put my own charity on there? For instance, the Reboot Chronicles is, you know, we have a bunch of Reboot fellows working here. It's, we don't do advertising. We don't take in money, you know, just people just kind of donate money occasionally to keep it going because we didn't want it kind of, you know, whatever, corrupted one way or the other. We wanted it to be a pure business platform where CEOs could kind of unload. So it's not really, but let's say I did have a non-for-profit. Can anyone put one up on your site?
Well, I have good news for you. It turns out if you have a legally registered nonprofit in the US, a 501c3, and you've registered with the IRS, it probably already is on the platform. One of the reasons I loved building DAFI over the donor advised fund is in order to be a nonprofit, all that information is public. Nonprofits have publish their taxes. They have their information with the IRS. And so we actually support over 1.5 million charities on the platform from day one. Right? No zero start problem. We don't need everyone to register. But yes, you know, there are some churches optionally have to register, right? Religious institutions in the US. And so if for some reason you belong to an organization that hasn't registered with the IRS, you can easily add it to DAFI, and many do. But our goal is to make it as easy as possible, right? The mission I set this company against is very much to help people be more generous more often. Right. And so removing that friction, using data, using technology to make sure that when you're inspired to give, you can easily find the nonprofit you want to give to and give them any amount that makes sense, is something we actually spend a lot of time on the technology.
And back to that question, I derailed it a little bit. But so the business model, are you taking a cut or how does it work?
Yeah, that's actually something we're very proud of on the business model front. So like I said earlier, it turns out most donor advised funds borrowed their business model from the investment firms they partner with, which means they charge a percentage of assets. Yeah, they love it, a percentage of assets. And that's fine in some regards. It's a stable business model, but it has a couple problems. The first problem is, well, that means the firms are incentivized to look for big accounts. The reason that most people haven't heard of this account is who can afford to put aside hundreds of thousands of dollars or millions of dollars for charity? Only the ultra wealthy, right? And so they tend to focus there. The second problem is that they lose revenue every time you actually donate the money to charity, right? If you have a $100,000 account with Fidelity Charitable, and they're a great institution, but the truth is if you donate $10,000 to your kid's school, well, they lost 10% of their revenue from that account. And so they're just not incentivized to help people give the money. At DAFI, I have a piece of advice I give to all the founders in my portfolio that I work with and that I've always thought of is to be intentional about your business model, because your business model so much guides the way your organization will grow and scale over time. And so we looked around in the nonprofit industry and discovered that a lot of nonprofits we respect actually work off the membership model. Right, a lot of community foundations, et cetera. And so DAFI is based on membership. We're free under $100, but most of our members pay $3 a month, or if they want a family plan, they can pay $5 a month. And yes, we do even have a high-end tier at $20 a month for folks who want to contribute a large amount of stock or mutual funds or crypto. But yeah, we are based on the membership model. So our job is to build our membership, build that community, and hopefully they'll stay with us for decades, you know, to support their
business. It's a good disruption story. You know, we always look for people rebooting themselves or their company, but it's like you're going up against all the, I call them the big dogs. At least it's not the Magnificent Seven, not yet anyway. But they're also archaic, number one. And number two, what you just pointed out is that the business model's upside down. It's like, yeah, we don't want you to donate too much money here because we like to keep it in the bank. So that's fascinating. And I like that you're on your burn and churn model. You know, you just have to worry about the consumer side because all the charities are already there. You have to waste time marketing to them and all that. So that's fascinating. When you look at competitors, so are you competing with everything from GoFundMe to just a lot of organizations are just using apps now. You mentioned churches. You know, everybody's automated their stuff. But who do you consider the I know you're going after a lot of green space, but who are you going head to head with on this one?
Yeah, there is a lot of open space to operate in. It's an incredibly fragmented market. There's over 1,000 donor advised funds in the U.S., and most of them aren't targeting most of those 60 million households.
Yeah,
there really is a big open market there.
As the SaaS providers say, you're down market, at least for now.
But listen, you know, it's funny you mentioned disruption. It turns out, you know, Clay Christensen is now passed away, and he was amazing, but he was an advisor for me in business school back in the day, and I was very influenced by his work, etc. Yeah. I tend to believe that these big platforms and organizations are actually very intelligent and have a lot of resources and distribution. Yep. And so there has to be a reason why there's an opening for a new entrant, for someone new to be there. And, you know, so I spend most of my time looking at what Fidelity and Schwab and Vanguard offer to their customers and think about how we can make that 10 times better through technology. How can we help people give better in the product? And like I said, the reason this is a little easier than normal is that there's just been so much innovation in fintech in the last 10 to 15 years. So many great insights about how to help people save and invest. Yep. It turns out you can apply a lot of those same insights to giving.
Yeah, and your timing is good in terms of partnerships too. So when you look at distribution and how you're innovating there, you're going to embed with the big dogs, I assume, just take it off their hands and grab their smaller clients, or what's your strategy there?
Well, so, you know, most of our membership comes because people hear the story or they hear from someone else and they join Daffy, right? Well, it's free to get started, very organic. Easy. And, you know, when we launched a couple of years ago, we were the first fully functional donor advised fund in the App Store. Right. So it's actually amazing how backwards the technology is in this sector.
It's manual.
But the truth is,
I've worked with some, you know, 1871 in Chicago, one of the largest non-for-profit incubators. So we're always working with the funds and doing proposals. It's the most archaic manual system in the world.
Yeah, it's amazing. But, you know, your instinct is, I share it. So last year, we spent a lot of time opening up the platform so that we can integrate. So we have a product we call Daffy for advisors, right? So financial advisors can use Daffy with their clients. And we've partnered with a number of advisory firms. We have an API platform, all those new fintech apps that let you save and invest, et cetera. They didn't build out a donor advised fund, but all their incumbent competitors have one. And so we're very happy to support them with APIs so that they don't have to build a donor advice fund. They can just use Daffy. And then probably most interesting, we rolled out Daffy for Work last summer with some Lighthouse customers. But if you're an employee and you join OpenAI or you join Acorns or Titan or another company on the platform, you basically get something that looks like a 401k for charity, right? You come in as a new employee. They say you can put some money aside for retirement in your 401k and we match a certain amount. And by the way, you can put money aside for charity in Daffy for Work, and we'll match the first $500 a year that you put aside for
those
charity. And so we have tried to open up the platform. We do think of it as a platform.
I think it's important. It's critical. And I love platform businesses, but I was going to go with employees big time because to me, that is a massive growth area for you. And if you think about it, you know, companies like Salesforce, they're always giving their employees free days off to go volunteer and all this stuff. They'll pay the monthly reoccurring, and all the employees have to do is chip in some money. So that to me could be your biggest market in terms of friction anyway, or lack of.
Well, it's a good story. We were pulled into it by one of our members. We didn't intend to do it from day one, but one of our members, honesty, liked Daffy so much, said that they were they ran a firm that had about 100 employees. He wanted to build giving into the culture. For a lot of reasons, hated the kind of expense tracking that comes with donation matching, and said, no, I just want people to put money aside for charity. And so we ended up building it for him. And then we had a couple other early members and investors who wanted it for their companies. But then we got some big customers who were excited about the idea. I think there's a common thread going on right now in the industry in general with benefits. I think that companies are more reluctant now to get in the middle of where people donate to and that whole process of approving donations, what organizations they support or don't support. Turns out the 401k model is better, right? You know, let people contribute to the account, they give to who they want to give to. And if the company wants to support giving, it's a great benefit to provide. And it's very inexpensive and easy to set up.
So I love the education stuff and the getting employees kind of and companies together. I think that's a brilliant strategy. And when you look at your innovation, your product roadmap, just curious what other types of, because that one's brilliant, easy, fell into your lap. And just a couple examples. So Seth Godin and a bunch of us wrote a book, The Big Move, is a bestseller. Everything went to charity, you know, JDRF, Room to Read, and we just gave them all the royalties. Is there any, is there a mechanism there if someone's getting royalties or whatever, they can like direct something to your platform? Because I like your back-end accounting stuff where you're just going to tell me, you know, this is where it went, this is how it went. Or is that kind of too far out?
No, actually, it turns out the Donor Advised Fund is a very flexible type of account, and we built our platform from scratch. And so automation and having all of your giving in one place, there's actually a lot of organizations now that probably in a previous world, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, would have started a foundation or some formal organization.
Exactly.
And have realized they don't need to do it. If they have a Donor Advised Fund, right? They can link an account. They can automate contributions if they want. They can put in cash. They can put in stock. They can put in even crypto. And they have this account that's invested tax-free. And then they can automate donations. You want to give to six organizations every quarter? Yep. You can. If you want to give to an organization on one-off, you can. And so actually a lot of people use it that way. And having all the tax information, all the history in one place.
Brilliant.
I mean, I don't know if you're like me, but it turns out that everyone, both businesses and individuals, you know, end up looking around at the end of the year for all those tax receipts, et cetera. And Daffy just eliminates that. And
so I'm holding up paper. It's a lot of paper. It's right.
Yeah, but you actually hit the nail on the head. Most people think that donor advised funds can only be used by individuals, but actually small businesses, right? Some people have 1099 income, et cetera. You can have a donor advised fund for your business. And that might be tax efficient. It's really very flexible.
I have another weird one since we're working on your product roadmap here for fun. So I do a lot of volunteering for, besides donating it, for building houses and a lot of hurricane relief down in Florida. I'll go out with trucks and actually fix stuff. And is there any way for people to capture, you know, you either donate money or your time or your you're attending events and stuff, but this is really usually just, it's got to be some financial component, but I'm just wondering if there's a way to monetize people's time. Is that too weird of a concept, a product?
It's not, Dean. I don't want to give away everything from the future, but it turns out that, you know, when we raised our last investment round, I actually wrote a bit about this. You know, I told you the origin story. I thought of Daffy in the beginning a little bit as an acorns for charity, like help people put money aside.
Yeah.
They have the money to give. All the research says that'll lead to them giving more, right? It's a better system. Fantastic. But as we dug in here, what we saw more and more is that people really do care about their identities here. People really do care about what they do for charity. And that's not all donations. People volunteer, they serve on boards, they throw events. And by the way, nonprofit organizations have real trouble finding and connecting with these people. All the other social networks, all these other places to go online, you can't compete with dating and shopping and, you know, news and all the other things that happen. And so I think that originally we might have set out to build a kind of an acorns for charity here, but I think it's going to end up looking more like LinkedIn. I mean, we're all a creature of our own history, right?
And Yes, we are.
I ran product at LinkedIn through the IPO, but there's a lot of familiarity here. I see the requests we get from our members. They can follow charities and get news from them. Yep. We have nonprofit organizations who want to reach out and find people who care about their cause.
Right.
I mean, just this last fall, the number of people who just want to connect with nonprofits locally in their area and don't have a great way to do so. We even rolled out a feature we call Nearby, where you can immediately get a color-coded map, right? It's mobile, right? GPS coordinates.
Right.
And if you want to see all the food banks in your area, you can. And then get information about them.
Yeah.
We're excited about that whole dimension. It'll take us years to build that out, but we're very excited about that dimension.
Yeah, but that's a great example. You bring them in for one thing, and then you're basically cross-marketing and all the other things that you've got. Not to mention partners. I mean, we just talked about distribution partners, but product partners that are actually on your platform, you're also monetizing those. How about some stats? So I threw out a half a trillion. That was just the clickbait for the opening, right? But when you kind of break down the U.S., I think you said 60 million or something or smaller donors, or what's the breakout of demographics?
So if you look at the $500 billion that's giving, over 300 billion of that is from individuals.
Amazing.
So you can X out foundations, corporations, et cetera,
yep.
Huge market. And as crazy as it sounds, we think it could be even bigger. We think that a lot of people would give more and want to give more, and they just don't have a system for it. But the numbers I was quoting you, the households, I mean, right now there's almost 2 million donor advised fund accounts in the U.S., and it has been growing at about a 28% year-over-year rate. It's one of the fastest account types in the U.S. And I think a lot of people in financial services feel like they've seen this movie before, right? 401ks and IRAs from the late 70s, 529 plans. This looks like the next account that everyone's going to say, oh, of course, I have an account set aside for charity. But it's been phenomenal. And all the rates, all the numbers, the amount donated from donor advised funds, the number of people opening accounts.
Right.
But it is still a small sliver. Like I said, the stats are pretty reliable. About 60 million households in the U.S. give to charity every year. And even if there are 1 or 2 million donor advised fund accounts, that means that most people, right, most Americans who give to charity every year, they have a few organizations they support,
mm-hmm.
right? Maybe their church or their synagogue, maybe their kid's school or alma mater, maybe a national cause or two. Most of those people still don't have an account. They're just responding to fundraising calls, right?
Exactly.
Someone is selling them. And they're responding. And we think there's a better way to give.
Yeah, I've been on a couple of university boards, so I know the model. I'm the asker sometimes. But so that's a perfect opening for me to make fun of the industry. when I look at charities, especially the ones that are always, wanting to get involved and stuff, I just think some of them are too big. And almost like government and universities, the amount or the ratio of administrators versus like professors, let's say at a university, but let's just stick with, but the amount of overhead in some of these charities, it bothers me and how much is really going to. So are you seeing a trend to what I would normally do is give to smaller ones and you kind of know where the money's going, or are people going with the big brand names? You know, I mentioned JDRF and a bunch of others that we've donated to. What do you see the trends there?
Well, this is actually one of the fundamental problems, I think, with the sector, is that most people have a lot of trouble with giving. And actually, being a product person, I'll say it breaks down into two problems. How much can I afford to give? Budgeting is hard for people. They probably don't have a line item for that. So knowing how much is an appropriate gift to give, and then second, who do I give that to? Those are both very hard problems. And right now, people try to solve both of them at once. It's doubly hard.
And another thing, the industry always brings it up in December when they're having cash flow issues with Christmas, depending on your religion. It's all upside down.
Well, it really is. And actually, by the way, if you talk to those same organizations, they would much rather have recurring donations for their ongoing operating budget, much healthier for them. And platforms like Daffy make that easier. But I think one of the reasons people default to the same names is back to that social component. Where do they go? Who do they ask? Do we even know who our neighbors, who our friends, our colleagues give to? Like, this information isn't readily available.
Right.
And one of the things we've seen on Daffy is we do let people connect and follow each other. And we do this for a simple reason. The research shows that almost all gifts to charity come because you're inspired to give by someone who tells you about an organization. Now, of course, nonprofits hire people to do this or they get volunteers to do this. But actually, one of the things that we innovated on at Daffy is everyone, when they make a donation, we ask them if they want to leave a public note. about why they give. And I mean, I've seen a lot of online content. I've been doing this a long time.
That's pretty compelling.
But it is really compelling. When you see something where you say, like, this is the 20th anniversary of my father passing,
yep,
and he always loved this organization they're giving, or a family member who might have had a medical issue and they're giving to an organization for that reason, or someone that helped them out. I mean, these notes are not like normal online content. And our belief is actually, if we do a little bit more to share what inspires us to give, we'll end up inspiring more people to give and help people discover worthy organizations and causes to support.
Yeah, exactly. I learned that at being on the board of NIU, Northern Illinois University, that it was all about the stories and the emotion. And especially if you bring them in person, but you can't do that when you're trying to automate this to 300 million Americans. No, I love that.
Well, this is why. Oh, sorry. Go ahead. I was going to say that this is one of the reasons we keep innovating, rolling out new features.
Yeah.
And so one of the innovations we rolled out just in November into that giving season is actually the ability for anyone with an account at Daffy to run a matching campaign. I mean, these are very common at nonprofit organizations or at fundraisers, but not something that people associate with donor advised funds, right?
So I can put up a Fidelity pledge and ask my friends to match it.
Actually, it's the other way around. Let's say, Dean, you're a very generous person, and for one of these organizations, you were going to give some amount of money, let's say $10,000. Well, instead of just giving money to the organization, instead, you can run a matching campaign. In fact, you can run a matching campaign for multiple organizations. Something happens that you care about, the fires in Maui, for example.
I did one.
If there are three organizations that you think deserve support, mm-hmm, you can say not only that I'm giving money to these organizations, but I will match every dollar that anyone else gives for a period of time.
Right.
And we support donations that are as small as $10, $20, but it's been phenomenal. We raised several hundred thousand dollars in the fall for food banks across the Bay Area. Different industry luminaries ran different campaigns. Reid Hoffman ran a campaign. Mike Schreffer ran a campaign. Josh Hanna ran a campaign for all these different communities. And so we really think that there's a lot of different ways, mm-hmm, that people want to get involved and give, but we're always looking for ways to make it easier for people to be more generous.
Yeah, you would have been better for the Hawaii one. Friends of ours lost their shop and their house, and it had, 500-year-old artifacts, huge, things in storage there. And the GoFundMe thing, it was just, I think the platform was overwhelmed and there wasn't enough emotion there, even though there was videos and pictures. And I think you really, hit on something there.
Well, the nice thing about a matching campaign is it's personal. And people reach out to their own community. I wish we had had the feature when the Maui fires first happened.
Yeah.
But very excited about having it on the platform. And we have nonprofits now who are very excited. Like schools are thinking, wait, I have big donors. Why not, instead of asking them for a donation, ask them to do a matching campaign? Everyone's talking about how to get more money out of these donors with donor advised funds. And then for individuals, we had a member tell us that they only want to run matching campaigns from now on because it feels like
it's a much more leveraged way.
To support an organization you care about.
I like the flip side too. It's like I put something up and I bang it to all my friends and thousands, and you'll get a few because of the emotional story. It's like if you don't post a story, you can't send out the match request. But yeah, it's fascinating. It's did you find a particular price point that kind of goosed this thing? Like I saw something about $18 or something when you found a low level where people just started donating.
Well, listen, I do have a bit of a background on the design side as well.
So
you're always looking for inspiration from the people who are using it and their stories. And it turns out giving is fairly universal. Like almost every culture and community has some tradition around giving. And so we rolled out a feature. A lot of our early members at Daffy were Jewish, and they have great traditions around giving and tzedakah. And so to celebrate the High Holy Days a little over a year ago, we rolled out a feature where if you go to a Jewish charity on the platform, instead of just the normal page, you get a little bit of information that, hey, 18 is a lucky number in Judaism. It ties to the word for life. It's considered lucky to give $18 or $180 or $1,800. And we made these buttons, right? If Robinhood can make it fun to buy stocks or crypto, we can make it fun to give.
Just keep adding zeros.
But we got written up in the New York Times last year because it turned out that one little feature that my co-founder built in a couple days, it turned out it moved the median donation to Jewish charities on our platform from $100 to $180, 80% increase, just with a little software love, a little inspiration.
It's good to have a creative product guy and an engineer as co-founders.
Well, you know, it turns out I'm actually very optimistic about that. I think that this is where the Donor Advised Fund has missed the real opportunity, which is that it's not a financial account, right? This isn't just a bank account. It's not a retirement account. This has real meaning for people, giving in general, right? And so embracing these different traditions and making it easy for people to not only give the way they give, but learn how other people give. I see a lot of opportunity there to help people and a lot of excitement, frankly, from the community, right? We actually, it was so popular, we had some of our members say, why can I only give this way to Jewish charities? I want a high mode that I can give to everyone and hit the buttons. Yeah, we actually built it for the 1 year anniversary. We rolled it out.
Where's the let's roll button? I love it. The so that makes sense, kind of experience. Is Daffy making people more generous?
We think so. So what we see, I mean, obviously it's early days, but that example of moving the median donation is very obvious in the data. We see more recurring donations, people who stay with us give more. Last year, we published a year in review, and it turns out that the people who had been with us at least 12 months actually gave more in the second year than they gave in the first year. And so there's a lot of different numbers that suggest that when people have a system for giving, they give more. And of course, like I said, the research shows this. We actually quote this research that was done as a follow-up to the famous behavioral research on, you know, pre-commitment, right? There's a reason why having a 401k helps people save for retirement, right? You automate it, you make this commitment. And it turns out if you do the same thing for giving, people give about 32% more. And so we are actually very optimistic that as big as $300 billion a year is for individual giving, if everyone was using a system like Daffy, we think that could be $100 billion a year more. For charity, $1 trillion over a decade.
Easily, yeah. Good stuff, Adam. Thanks for coming on. It's been really nice sharing all this. The any personal reboots in your life? You're like me. You've done big companies, small companies. You've been through a lot of crazy phases, I bet. What's been your biggest reboot challenge?
You know, that's an interesting one. I tend to think of it, you know, Reid Hoffman had a lot of influence on me. He has a framework in the startup of you, right? And the alliance about tours of duty. And so I've actually had that same tension I think a lot of us have, which is that if you focus too much on rebooting all the time, well, you don't have enough time to run and actually do something significant.
Exactly.
But if you don't sit and kind of take stock of where you are in your life and what you want to do, you miss asking the most important questions. Not just what you want to do and what you're capable of, but what gives you meaning, what gives you excitement, brings out the best in you. And so I've done that regularly, almost between every company, every stint. Yeah. I mean, most recently, like Daffy wouldn't exist if I hadn't had some time after Wealthfront as an EIR to sit and think about what the next thing was and what unique company, what unique product could I build that I didn't have confidence that anyone else would do. Right? Would this not exist if I didn't do it? And to me, the bar for a new company has to have a little bit of that. You have to believe that this is on you because it's a little bit of a crazy thing to go out. There are much easier ways to make money. There are much easier ways to work. But
yeah, you didn't pick the easiest one. Yeah, good story. Thanks, Adam. And with four kids, you really do need to take those breaks and you know, give a little back to your family too. So I get that. You've been listening to Adam Nash. He is the co-founder and CEO of a cool company you got to check out in Silicon Valley called Daffy. And this is Dean Tobias with the Reboot Chronicles. I want to thank you for joining us today. We'll see you soon.